Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to Friday. This is my Malloy program. It's about 7 past the hour. We have trivia tonight, probably during the second hour. And yeah, I'm going to start off tonight with some Herman Cain stuff, because this is really, really, really getting out of hand. It's becoming more and more apparent, and I think with Cain's own words, that he is nothing more than a puppet for the Koch brothers. So we'll get to that in just a second. This hour is sponsored by Till Chamkis. Thanks, Till. His message: where would we be if dinosaurs had been too big to fail? Being too big ensures failure, like a virus that grows until the host dies. Corporations have become viral and need a healthy dose of chemo. Okay. Till Chamkis, thanks for the sponsorship, sir. I think the thing that drives me crazy is how Herman Cain's rabid, brain-dead supporters continue to give him standing ovations. This is a man who has been charged in the public forum, although the three women are up to this point are deciding for good reasons to remain anonymous, but charging him with sexual harassment and going back to Uncle Clarence Thomas's hearings, where Clarence Thomas, also guilty as the day is long. I mean, who are you going to believe, Clarence Thomas or Anita Hill? I mean, that was no contest. But a bunch of white people in the United States Senate determined to show that they were not going to be called racist. They are not going to be involved in a high-tech lynching, as Clarence Thomas was instructed to put it. That they were going to show the world that they were liberals, even the conservatives. He was confirmed. Never should have been. Herman Cain, his handlers, the Koch brothers, see this as a golden opportunity, so they took it. And now anyone who questions Herman Cain is being accused of a similar high-tech lynching. It's not so much Herman Cain. Herman Cain is a hustler. He's going to do whatever he's going to do. He knows how to play folks, and he's going to do just that. The thing that really gets me are the people who are backing him. I don't know any African-American people who are backing Herman Cain. Matter of fact, they're kind of laughing at him. Not maybe at him so much as laughing with him. But it's like black folk are in on the joke, and they know Herman Cain is a joke. And white right-wingers, this is their golden opportunity. The ones who hate the black guy in the White House, but they're going to rally behind this chump. Go figure. Go figure. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Cain just continues to ignore his past. And these right-wing organizations that are backing him, they're just loving it. You just keep going, Herman. Just keep playing it the way you're playing it. Everything will be all right. He was back in Washington today to speak to this Americans for Prosperity, which is a front organization, a fascist front organization set up by the Koch brothers. It has nothing to do with Americans. It has nothing to do with prosperity. But it has a lot to do with illegal campaign funding. And he made an effort, Cain did, to stay on subject, to stay away from the sexual harassment scandal, of which, of course, he's guilty. He's completely guilty. There's no question about it. Now, the same clowns who demand proof of Barack Obama's birth certificate or citizenship are so willing to give this chump a standing ovation when he walks into a room. All these white people jump into their feet. It's astonishing. Astonishing. An attorney representing one of the women who is now refusing to go public, and who can blame her? The attorney says that his client's version of events, of course, differs from Cain's account. The attorney said Mr. Cain knows the specific incidents that were alleged. If he chooses not to remember or not acknowledge those, that's his issue. The matter was resolved in September of 1999, this attorney said, adding that at the time of the sexual harassment, his client was, quote, very upset, end quote. Bennett said that his client continued to work at the National Restaurant Association for about a month after filing a complaint. The attorney said, quote, the fact that there is more than one complainant is meaningful, end quote. So anyway, in the middle of all this, the chump, this fool, walks to the stage with his bold red tie on rather than the gold one that he normally wears. Not today. Nuh-uh. Where was this? Was this in the Washington Post? I forget where I got this. Anyway, he walks up there with his red tie on, and the crowd jumped up and gave him a standing ovation, erupting into cheers. For what? What has this man done that would cause a standing ovation and cheers? What has he done? Anybody know? Anybody? What has he done? He's a former CEO of Godfather's Pizza. He's worked in the fast food business all of his life, which means he has spent his working life making sure that people were poisoned with garbage food. He had a talk show. He's one of Neil Bortz's little proteges from WSB Radio here in Atlanta. He used to work on a radio program. What has he done? What has he done that would make all these white people jump up and cheer and stomp and applaud? What are they saying when they do that? What are they saying? To me, what they're saying is, you know, we're the party of molesters, rapists, adulterers, cheats. And I don't care what you want to say about Anthony Weiner and his penis or Bill Clinton and his oral sex with his girlfriend. I don't care about that. I'm talking about sitting members of the House and the Senate, Republicans, who see sexual harassment of women as, you know, that's what I do before lunch. After lunch, I just sit around, burp and fart. But before lunch, that's what I do, harass women. So what? What's the big issue? So there they are. They jump up and they give him a standing ovation. Whoop and holler and cheer. Yoo-hoo! So he gave his little speech. And his focus was on his economic vision. His 999 tax plan. His gutting government programs that help people who desperately need help. And destroying what he calls the entitlement society. Did you know if you get Social Security or Medicare that you paid for it? So how is it an entitlement? But that's what the right-wingers call it. And right-wingers are incapable of coherent thought. Republicans are. So they go along with what they're told to say. And there's always somebody pulling the strings. This year and for the past couple of years, it's been these execrable Koch brothers. These chumps and punks and filth, the Koch brothers, who are hell-bent to destroy everything they touch. As long as they make money out of it, they don't care. It's disaster capitalism. They'll just take it. Cain also embraced his friendship and ideological alliance with David and Charles Koch. David and Charles Koch, in a different time, a different place, would wipe their feet on Herman Cain. If they even acknowledged his presence, it would be to do nothing more than say to him, "Boy, get my coat." But all of a sudden, Herman Cain, what did he say? He said the Koch brothers are my brothers from another mother. He said that today. And of course, the crowd just whooped and went wild. More of this when we come back. I just have to talk about this a little bit. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We'll be right back. coalition against right-wing rhetoric get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So, Herman Cain, who is just, I guess he's just adopted the attitude, his handlers keep telling him, Herman, just ignore all this. That was a long time ago. You know, the fact that you were loose with the truth over the past couple of weeks since this story broke, the fact that that you lie and you cheat and you sneak, that's immaterial. You're a Republican now, and you are owned by the Koch brothers. So conduct yourself accordingly. And, of course, Herman is just, you know, he's out there for the ride. He didn't give a damn. So he was at this speech today, Americans for Prosperity in Washington. He said, the Koch brothers are my brothers from another mother. And according to, I guess this is a post, Cain boomed that out to an enormous convention hall filled with conservative activists from across the nation who laughed, who cheered, who rose to their feet several times during his brief speech. David Koch's Americans for Prosperity presented Herman Cain. Now, Cain keeps trying to reboot his campaign since all this started. When was it? A week or so ago? 2 weeks ago? I don't even know. It just seems like it's always been out there, this story, doesn't it? Today, tested his still-evolving campaign team. The events of today, where a couple of women are speaking out now through their attorneys, but they're not going to go public and identify themselves because there's no upside for them to do that. And I think they fully understand if they do identify themselves, they will be tracked down, and right-wing crazy people like Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Neil Bortz or the Pig Man will, or O'Reilly, or Savage, or the rest of these thugs, will do things like send her emails saying they know where her kids go to school if she has children. They will call her a slut and a whore. They will threaten her life and her husband's. They will send weird-looking people by in the street in front of her house. You know how these right-wingers work. You understand this. You know how brown shirts operate. Until they're finally all killed and replaced with the SS. But you know how this works. You've seen this movie before. So have these women. So for the most part, they've decided to kind of state their case through their attorneys. Look, this happened. Herman Cain knows it happened. We know it happens. I wish they would add his phony ass God knows it happened. You know, Herman claims to be, is he a minister too? Is he, I don't know. So Cain just continues to ice skate over the top of this. He doesn't care. Why should he care? This is a guy who the other day was talking about how we got to step up our competition with the Chinese because you know why? They're working on developing nuclear weapons. And they just may get them someday. That's how dumb this son of a bitch is. I mean, this guy is stupider than Michelle Bachmann, stupider than Sarah Palin. And nobody calls him on this stuff. Nobody stands up on their hind legs like the big-time anchors for ABC, CBS, and NBC and says, son of a bitch, has this country come to this? You Republicans, you are casting in the role of front-runner some freak who doesn't realize that the Chinese have had nuclear weapons for half a century? But no, that's all right, because Herman is a useful idiot. He's another one. Another useful idiot. The Koch brothers own him. The Koch brothers own him. They are funding him. They're loaning some phony company, a nonprofit that his campaign manager set up, money, and then that money goes from the nonprofit to Herman. Of course, that's illegal. But that doesn't matter either, you see? Oh, no. What are you talking about? You don't have your facts right. Well, aren't you getting funds illegally? Excuse me? Excuse me? A new Washington Post ABC News poll published today shows Herman Cain virtually tied with former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney for the lead in the race for the GOP nomination, with most Republicans shrugging off the allegations. Spokesman for a cigarette man, spokesman for Cain said, quote, Mr. Cain is focused on moving on getting his message out across the country and fixing the economy and putting Americans back to work. And that's supposed to be the answer. That's supposed to be what the brain dead Republicans are supposed to buy. And they will buy. More when we come back. I have an email here from sax player in the Count Basie band, and I want to share with you what he wrote, because he didn't ask me not to share it. And if you don't like the N-word, then switch to a different channel for a few minutes.
Lonely, I'm Mr. Lonely. I have no
gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Herman Cain. I'm trying to remember if we've ever been exposed in this country to this kind of ignorance. And what really gets me is the way the white folks, the conservatives, the ones who are used to referring, you know, they'd see Herman Cain standing outside of a very expensive hotel in New York, and Herman's waiting for a cab, and the white people are waiting for a cab. They're the types that'd be saying, my luggage is right inside. Would you go get it for me? To Herman. But for some reason, that's not happening. Is it because Herman Cain is so bright? Is it because he is so personable? Is it because he is so knowledgeable politically? Is it because he has proven himself to be a political leader? Is it because he has won elections in the past? Is it because he has clawed his way to the top of a political party to the point where he feels qualified to run for president? Is it any of that stuff, or is it something else? At the Koch brothers funded event today, Cain made a passing reference to the roiling sexual harassment scandal, and he said, quote, you know, I've been in Washington all week and I've attracted a little bit of attention. The audience laughed. And they again rose to their feet when he boomed out, I'm going to be president! Wow. I got an email from a guy I've never met, but I'm starting to consider him a friend. He's written to me a lot. I write to him. He sent me pictures when he's out on tour. He sent me pictures from, Sweden, from Japan. And, yeah, he's a black man. And this is what he writes. Quote, brother from another mother? And this many white people can't pretend to like me. Quote, end quote. I, Dr. Sachs writes, I don't need approval by white folks, What is wrong with this cat? Minstrel performer, house nigga, Uncle Tom, jive-ass mother. Ain't no one going to be able to lecture me on my people and their behavior. And Kane is one jive-ass mother. He didn't even know that China did their first nuclear test in 1964. WTF? Becky Stan? What a top-class a-hole. And three women now have said he sexually harassed them. Or is it six? He loves the Koch brothers. And this is the stuff we are focusing on in America now. Quote, I loves me some Koch brothers. End quote. People are losing their jobs, can't afford health care, losing their homes, can't feed their children. People are starving and homeless right here in America. This is ridiculous. And I get very angry when I hear all this crap. I'm sorry, Mike, but this stuff is just going over the top. Jobs sucking out left and right. Republicans blaming people for not having jobs and then say, go flip burgers. Who can make a living working at McDonald's, for God's sake? Is that the future of America, to be like one of the countries where there's a small, rich elite at the top, and then the majority of the population are very poor and very downtrodden? It is not just. It is not moral. It is not the way of a higher evolved civilized country. And blaming Americans for the corporations who suck their jobs to foreign countries for the sake of profit is like blaming the rape victim for being raped. Jeez. That just messes me up. It's the unions? That's the biggest right-wing lie of all. It's the corporate structure of this country which is bringing it to its knees. You think 30 million people don't want a good job? What about Maytag closing his factory in Iowa? I'm sorry, Mike. I was trying to practice here. I know I've been quiet lately. Basically because I'm shell-shocked. But I had to vent. Then I'm off to play with a contemporary band at a wedding reception. Party on. Quote, our blacks are better than their blacks. End quote. This is not a circus. It's the seventh floor at Bellevue Hospital. Whew. Dr. Sachs. Man. And John in Raleigh writes regarding Kane tonight, Mike, he's channeling fascist rage at working and poor Americans, minorities too. And I don't believe Americans realize this. He strikes me not just as a dangerous man personally, but as a poster child for a ton of anger that will be visited upon Americans who work for a living should he or the Republicans win in 2012. I'm rendered almost speechless over what I see the Republican Party doing, and that some Democrats are seemingly joining in. Best to you all there in the studio, John in Raleigh. Now, like I said, not that it matters, but has there been anyone more ignorant who has run for president than Herman Cain? In an interview with PBS's Judy Woodruff on Wednesday, Kane said he considered China a potential military threat because, quote, they've indicated that they're trying to develop nuclear capability and they want to develop more aircraft carriers like we have, end quote. Now, Judy Woodruff said nothing. And he hasn't clarified the statement since Wednesday. It's just out there. Who cares? Judy Woodruff doesn't care. Who cares? His supporters don't care. Herman doesn't care. China tested its first nuclear weapon in 1964. Today it has estimates anywhere from 200 to 300 nuclear warheads in its stockpile. Now that is dwarfed against our 8,500 or Russia's 11,000, but that's not the point, is it? Herman Cain, what kind of a learning curve would this dunce have should he be elected president? Well, you know, China is trying to develop nuclear capability. We got to be careful of that. If I'm elected president, I'm gonna not let that happen. Kane is apparently doesn't remember that only two nuclear weapons have ever been used in warfare, and they obliterated two cities and killed more than 200,000 people. And they were dropped by us needlessly and pointlessly, except to demonstrate something to the Soviet Union all those years ago. And the hydrogen fusion bombs that have replaced the old stupid-ass nuclear weapon, you know, nuclear weapon, we only killed 80,000 people. Well, let's drop one of these. We'll wipe out the whole goddamn country. So those are the stakes. International Business Times puts it this way. Those are the stakes. But Kane either is not aware of them or he doesn't care, because he has presented his lack of foreign policy knowledge almost as a point of pride. He said, for instance, that he would learn who the president of Uzbeki Stan was when he had to meet him. And that in the meantime, he doesn't need to know because, you know, how's that going to create one job? But see, Herman is such a dunce. He is such an ignorant fool that apparently his handlers haven't told him yet that the president is responsible for more than just the economy. Not that any Republican will do anything to stimulate the economy. Let me tell you what it's going to get down to. I'll go ahead and tell you. If the Republicans take control of the executive branch and the Senate and develop a veto-proof majority, within 6 months or less, this country will erupt into the kind of revolution that we witnessed in Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, Libya, and you can take that to the bank, because the policies of these people can be defined in one word, and this is what makes Herman Cain so ironic. The policies of these neo-fascists like the Koch brothers, one word, slavery. That's it. We'll be right back. Johnny wants a broom. Johnny wants to suck on a coke. Johnny wants a woman. Johnny wants to think of a joke. Johnny's in America. I'm afraid of
right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Next hour, I'm going to get off of this Kane nonsense. It's just, I don't know. Like I've said before, every morning I wake up and take a look at the New York Times, switch to a couple of the cable news channels, and then just shake my head in disgust and try to eat a bowl of oatmeal. It's just unbelievable. When a little bit more here, this is from International Business Times, Maggie Astor, is a writer here. You know, when Kane is asked about specific foreign policy issues that he might face as a commander-in-chief, he either makes questionable statements, like he did about China, or he tries to dodge him. Kane addressed this idea, well, okay, the China strategy. You know, he's worried about China because China is developing nuclear capability. How about Iraq or Afghanistan, or as he puts it, a Bika 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 Stan? What would he have done about Muammar Gaddafi? How would he have gone about capturing or killing Osama bin Laden? What will he do about countries like Iran that are trying to develop nuclear weapons? Now, Cain addressed that last one in an interview with Bill O'Reilly, telling O'Reilly that he would, quote, maximize the use of our ballistic missile defense capability, end quote, against Iran. When O'Reilly pointed out that putting more missiles into play would lead to a shooting war with Iran, Cain replied, that's all right. That's all right? If after full consideration you decide the best foreign policy strategy is to put more missiles in the Middle East, okay, but you can't just cavalierly dismiss the possibility of triggering yet another all-out war, this time nuclear. Has Cain even thought about these things? Even Michael Steele, former Republican National Committee chairman, recently said that Cain ought to take some time off the campaign trail to brush up on his foreign policy knowledge before he shoots himself in the foot with more of these half-assed ignorant remarks. Can you imagine if Obama had said during the 2008 campaign that China was trying to acquire nuclear weapons? Republicans would have eviscerated him. If 47 years have passed since China detonated its first nuclear weapon, and you still don't know that it has any, do you want this chump, this clown, this jerk fool controlling the nuclear codes? Do you want him leading the so-called free, laugh, world? This is what it's come to. Now, he is owned. He's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Koch brothers. They own him, lock, stock, and barrel. So it doesn't matter what he says. He can say anything he wants to say or anything that he's told to say. It doesn't matter. And he doesn't have to go back and correct what he says. And as far as women who say he was verbally sexually assaulted them or verbally sexually abusive, it doesn't make any difference. All he has to do is stand there and say, excuse me, I am not going to answer any of that. And just keep on keeping on. Because the white people who own him love it. They'll just stand up and cheer. You go, Herman. You go. You know what they're saying behind his back. Of course you do. But that's the thing about Caucasians. When they find one that they own, woo, Lord have mercy. You go, Herman. We're going to stand up and cheer for you. You go. Boy, oops, almost said boy. No, you're not a boy, Herman. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You're a man, Herman. Go, Herman. I'm going to be president. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Cain said that 75% of Planned Parenthood clinics are located in majority black areas. The real number is 9%. That doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Does that sound familiar? That kind of a half-assed statement? Well, a white man, U.S. Senator John Kyle, Republican Arizona, gave a similarly bogus statistic a couple of months ago when he said on the Senate floor, quote, if you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood, and that's well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does, end quote. The real number is 3%. But it doesn't matter. None of this matters. The truth is so far removed from all Republicans, black, white, or green. It doesn't matter. They can say anything. Anything to pander to this incipient, barely hidden fascism in this country. Herman Cain's a figurehead. He is owned by the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers want him in the White House. For obvious reasons. You just going up there, Herman. You say any goddamn thing you want to say. And those bitches back in the 90s that you tried to pick up, that you know, whatever you did. What did you do, Herman? Well, here, I'll whisper it to you. Okay. You didn't. That's a real knee slapper, Herman. Ah, damn. You just don't worry about it, okay? Just don't worry about it. We got you covered, Herman. when they start asking you about this stuff, you just look at them and say, excuse me? We got you covered, Herman. We're going to take good care of you. We're going to make sure, Herman, that you get every little old thing that you could possibly want, because we're the Koch brothers. And we have other allies, big-time allies. Man, you don't have any idea what we control, Herman. So you just get out there and do what we tell you to do. And everything's going to be okay. This hour is sponsored by Till Chamkis. His message, where would we be if dinosaurs had been too big to fail? Being too big ensures failure, like a virus that grows until the host dies. Corporations have become viral and need a healthy dose of chemo. They do, Till. They ab-sa-damn-lutely do. Thank you, sir. Truth Seekers. Number's 877-996-2556. A second Iraq veteran, Army veteran, was injured by police in Oakland, I think, last night. And he has been hospitalized in intensive care. I don't have an update on this. Severe head injuries. The veteran identified as Kaven Sebegi, according to a source, is the second former serviceman in 2 weeks to be badly hurt during demonstrations in Oakland. The group Iraq Veterans Against the War said Sebegi was detained during disturbances that broke out about midnight Wednesday in downtown Oakland, and he was charged with resisting arrest. The veterans group said in a statement that police hit him with nightsticks on his hands, shoulders, ribs, and back, and that he suffered from internal bleeding and a lacerated spleen. Tim from L.A. sent this to me, and he adds, someone is going to snap because of PTSD and all hell will break loose. You know, I said it the other night. The police had better, I don't know, stop assaulting anybody, but especially combat veterans or people who have been in America's corporate wars that have been waged for the past 10 years to please the capitalists. Because a lot of these guys, especially the ones who joined Veterans for Peace or Iraq Veterans Against the War or Vietnam Veterans Against the War, whatever, you know, they know what the game is. They understand. They understand how they were, their patriotism was abused, their love of country was crapped on, and they were forced out to kill or be killed to satisfy the greed of the capitalists in the United States. They understand this now. So they come back and they join an Occupy movement in order to exercise the First Amendment rights that they were told they were over there defending. And they get shot in the head by police. They get beat up with nightsticks? You want to be careful. You want to be careful, Mr. Police Officer. You really do. Speaking of, well, there's a couple things here. You heard about former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, what he has decided. Yow. He apparently got so upset at the dismissal of his lawsuit against airport security that he threatened today to apply for dual citizenship so he can spend more time in Mexico, where I guess he really loves it down there. Or he's thinking about running for president of what he called the fascist states of America. Ooh. See what happened. Ventura sued the federal government in January, alleging that airport scans and pat-downs amounted to unreasonable search and seizure. And yesterday, a district judge in St. Paul, Minnesota, threw out his lawsuit, ruling that, on a technicality, the judge ruled it should have been filed in a circuit court of appeals. Outside the federal courthouse in St. Paul, with a crew from his cable TV show filming everything. That show is called Conspiracy Theory. Ventura said he hadn't decided whether to continue pressing his lawsuit, but he said he wanted to make his case before a jury and not a panel of judges. Problem here, Ventura has said a titanium hip implanted in him in 2008 sets off metal detectors. And that TSA agents that previously used handheld wands to scan his body, he said he was subjected to a body pat-down after an airport metal detector went off last November. And Ventura says he hasn't flown since and he won't fly commercially again. Now, he's a former Navy SEAL, as you know, and he said he had lost his patriotism. And this is what he said then, quote, "I will never stand for a national anthem again. I will turn my back and I will raise a fist," end quote. A former Navy SEAL, former governor. "I will never stand for the national anthem again. I will turn my back and I will raise a fist." And one other thing, if you're in the military and you dare to speak the truth and you're a flag rank officer, you're in deep trouble. The General John Allen, who is the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, issued a statement today saying that Major General Peter Fuller, two stars, has been relieved of his duties as deputy commander for the Afghan training mission. Now, here's what happened. Fuller, the one who was relieved, in an interview with the website Politico, the one that broke the story on Herman Cain, the general characterized Afghan leaders as erratic, ungrateful, isolated from reality. He also said that Afghan leaders don't fully recognize America's sacrifices on their country's behalf. And he referred to Hamid Karzai's recent statement that Afghanistan would side with Pakistan if Pakistan got into a war with the U.S. Can you goddamn believe this? Of course you can. See, we shouldn't be there to begin with. We just shouldn't. But Hamid Karzai, who was our puppet for a while until he broke free of his strings, he's more or less giving the middle finger to the American government, the American military. He's saying, you know, if war breaks out between you and Pakistan, I know what side I'm going on. I have milked you chumps for all I can get from you. I'm going with Pakistan. So this general, Major General Peter Fuller, said that those kinds of comments were erratic, and he added, quote, "Okay, why don't you just poke me in the eye with a needle? You got to be kidding me. I'm sorry. We just gave you almost $12 billion, and now you're telling me I don't really care?" End quote. General Fuller said the Afghans have at times made unreasonable requests for U.S. assistance. Oh, really? Fuller said, quote, "You can teach a man how to fish or you can give them a fish. We're giving them fish while they're learning, and they want more fish. They say, I like swordfish. How come you're giving me cod? Guess what? Cod's on the menu today." End quote. Major General Peter Fuller. Oops. Fuller also said the Afghans don't understand the extent to which the U.S. is in economic distress or, quote, the sacrifices that America is making to provide for their security, end quote. General John Allen, his boss, fired him, took away his command, and said that Major General Peter Fuller's, quote, unfortunate comments, end quote, don't represent the solid U.S. relationship with the Afghan government. Now, you tell me, Truth Seeker, which one of these generals is lying through his teeth? Is it General John Allen, the U.S. top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, or is it Major General Peter Fuller, his subordinate, relieved of his duties as deputy commander for the Afghan training mission because he spoke the truth? Which one, if you were going to go into a battle, which commander would you rather have? The boss, General John Allen, said, quote, "The Afghan people are an honorable people," but the people are not what was at issue. You see, General Allen, you're dragging a red herring across everything. We're talking about the leadership. But anyway, General Allen said, "The Afghan people are an honorable people, and comments such as these will keep us from accomplishing our most critical and shared mission, bringing about a stable, peaceful, and prosperous Afghanistan," end quote. And we sit here at home and are supposed to believe this? A peaceful, stable, and prosperous Afghanistan? How about a peaceful, stable, and prosperous United States?
America, one flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by David Ruck.
Can't touch this.
Thanks, David. His message, happy birthday, Dad.
Can't touch this.
Craig from St. Paul is another year wiser today. Speak truth to power from your four awesome kids. Well, that's sweet. Happy birthday, Dad. Craig. That must be Dad. From St. Paul is another year wiser today. Speak truth to power from your four awesome kids. Happy birthday, Craig. Thanks, David, for the sponsorship. Michael is listening on XM. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good. You made a comment about the way they refer to Social Security and Medicare's entitlement programs.
Right.
Well, I guess I would kind of have to agree with the fact that they are entitlement programs.
Yeah.
And, well, the way I see that is I've been paying that stuff for 45 years. You damn right I'm entitled to it.
I think you're using the word a little bit differently. You're using it the way I would use it.
Well, you know, they say entitlement. I agree. I'm entitled to it. I've been paying into that stuff for 45 years, and I'm entitled to it. That, you know, so I guess I have to agree with them on that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we finally found a place where we can agree with the Republicans. It is an entitlement, and by God, we want it.
That could be. Oh, hey, one more thing.
Sure.
China's got nuclear weapons?
They're working on it, Michael. They're working on it.
Okay, well, man, if they get them, let me know, because that's really going to worry me. You know?
I know. It would scare the hell out of me, too. Thank God we're going to have somebody like Herman Cain for president who will protect us.
He'll take care of that stuff, man. He'll take care of it.
Yes, he will.
All right, Mike. Keep it up, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael. Drive safely. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Michael's driving in Michigan tonight. Yeah, entitlements. You know, that's the kind of attitude I should take. I should take the same kind of attitude Michael takes. Instead of fighting these bastards, I would just say, yeah, okay, it is an entitlement. You're right. I'm entitled to it. I'm an American. I paid into it. I've been paying into it. Actually, Michael, I've been paying into it. Well, no, I was going to say longer. Well, let me think a minute. Yeah, I've been paying into it longer than you have, pal. Oh, my God. But, you know, in this country that claims it's a Christian country, you know, Jesus is pretty specific in telling people to, his followers anyway, to take care of the poor. I mean, he didn't mince words. I think the Bible will tell you that the Christian Messiah, whatever you want to call him, Jesus, spent more time talking about the poor and the downtrodden than about any other subject. And he made it very clear in addressing rich people that they didn't have an ice cube's chance in hell, so to speak, in joining him or his Father in heaven. I mean, the Christian Messiah made that point over and over and over again. And see, that's why I just don't like Christians. They're very irritating because they don't follow their leader. I mean, here's this guy that wandered around the Middle East 2,000 years ago, Palestinian Jew wandering around the Middle East 2,000 years ago, trying to enlighten people, trying to make some essential points. Not as a messiah, not as a sky spook, but as somebody who is very perceptive, probably deeply influenced by Eastern religions, way east. And he tried to make some points, you know, hey, treat people the way you want to be treated. Forget about your money. It's not going to get you a damn thing. And if you want to declare me some kind of a teacher or a leader, after all, I am rabbi, I am a teacher, then get rid of all your junk and follow me. Right? Mark 12, verses 41. He sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples, and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And I think he went on to explain to his disciples that such is the kingdom of heaven, not the rich people. Never. And yet, you know, these rich folks believe that their Messiah is waiting for them with open arms. I'll tell you what he's waiting for you with. A whip and a gun. When we come back, podcast trivia! So get online.
And for all of those who will be wandering in this space, they will be stuck between a rock and a hard, hard place. Mothers in arms, what would you do if you were alive?
Before the hour, it's time once again for podcast trivia, where all you have to do is get the right answer to our multiple choice question, and you win a 1-year podcast subscription, download, commercial free, whatever. retail value of $56.40. Oh my God! All right, let's play. James is in Eugene, Oregon, listening online. Hello, James.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How about you?
Pretty good, actually. I guess I have one thing to announce real quickly. There's a man who's going to call you, get through, and give you an update on the Occupy Eugene.
Okay.
His name is Ralph. I want you to know that up front. And if I win this trivia contest tonight, I'll give his name to the podcast.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
All right. I hope that's okay.
Okay, it is. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Next Tuesday, voters in Mississippi will decide whether or not that state will grant full legal rights to which of the following? A, a fertilized human egg. B, a fertilized chicken egg. C, sweet potatoes, or as they're called in Mississippi, yams. Or D, any customized automobile built before 1955.
God, that's really hard. I think it must be A, though.
A, you're absolutely right. All right. All right, James. You win.
I want to tell you one other thing, actually, too. I'm the fellow who sent you the picture of the BS detector, and you may have gotten it with illegible handwriting because my hand doesn't have any feeling much to speak of. And there was a picture of me sitting in a canoe on another one. So if you got it, you know
now,
who I am.
Now, when did you send that?
Oh, it's been a month. And I sent it to Decatur. I hope it got there.
Oh, you mean you mailed it to the P.O. box?
Yeah, I think I mailed it to the Decatur address.
Yeah, that's the P.O. box. It was a photograph?
Well, it was a photograph of me holding up a prop that we took to the coal fire plant hearing where, you know, they had all their experts, but nobody could pay attention to what anybody was saying because the BS detector would either go over to boredom or over to bullcaca. Either way, the arrow would point. It caused everybody to look at that thing in the back of the room, and no disruption, really, no noise, just destroyed the hearing.
That's great.
Now, if you ever get a chance to go to a hearing like that, build one of those. It's really simple.
Yeah, all
if
right.
If you don't have it, I'll send you another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, please do, because I'd love to see it, and I just don't remember getting it. And
no, well, you know, you probably looked at the handwriting and said, this guy is
No.
It's pathetic, my handwriting.
All right.
Well, anyway, I'll, you know, Ralph will be calling you.
Okay.
He's waiting somewhere, probably in the wing right now, to do this update. He's the one who gets the podcast trivia. I'm content sending $10 whenever I can and listening online.
All right.
If you understand, I have a very pathetic, primitive arrangement over here.
I hear you. All right, James. Hold on.
Hey,
thank you.
To hear you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll say hello to Kathy one more time, and then Ralph will be getting along here if you just.
Okay, hold on now. Don't hang up. Kathy will get the pertinent information here. Congratulations, James. Glad you won. This hour, by the way, is sponsored by David Ruck, and his message is "Happy Birthday, Dad." Craig from St. Paul is another year wiser today. Speak truth to power. From your four awesome kids. Well, happy birthday, Craig. And David, thanks for the sponsorship. I like that. Happy birthday, Dad. Craig from St. Paul is another year wiser today. Speak truth to power from your four awesome kids. Your four awesome kids. Not the regular kids, the awesome kids. Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Doing good. Oh, man. I was thinking of when you was talking about the Bible verses that you was quoting. You know, when you said that, I thought Herman Cain would say something like, you know, when you would tell him that the Koch brothers' money someplace that can't be. Boy, you know, when you were talking about the kingdom of heaven, you know, I think when Herman Cain was talking about, excuse me.
Right.
You know, I tell you, this clown is just, I didn't think he would catch fire like this. I dismissed him a long time ago, but he is getting some kind of play, man. I mean,
well,
the biggest
Yeah.
Clown that he is. I think he ran into a stone wall now. Only thing, like, you know, you remember the Tennessee senatorial race with, what's that, Harold?
Oh, yeah.
Harold Ford.
Ford.
Uh-huh. Ran into that wall when they finally said, we finally got him, because he was making up real good ground there.
Mm-hmm.
They finally got him, was you spread that rumor that he was up there dating white women. So, you know, now if this turned out to be one of Herman Cain's victims turned out to be white, I'd look to see him really fall down and become what I expect him to be.
Well, do you really think these right wingers give a damn? I mean, look at old what's her name married to Uncle Clarence Thomas. She's white. I think she's white. She looks white. I don't know. Maybe she's passing. I have no idea.
I think she is. But you know, once you get married, you know, and they look like they work very good together to destroy all the democracy that we can ever wish to have.
Aren't those two a pair? What's her name? Ginny and Clarence Thomas. Aren't those two a pair? You're right. Talk about destroying her. And she's an active Tea Party person, and her husband is a sitting United States Supreme Court justice. Now you tell me if that, plus, you know, he lied all those years about her income. Nothing's going to happen about that. I mean, can you imagine if, Ruth Bader Ginsburg would have lied all those years about her husband's income? How long do you think it would have taken before the right wingers would have started screaming for her to be impeached? But you notice nothing but silence on Clarence Thomas. Isn't that something?
They would have been all over her. They would have been like nailed her to a cross and marched her down through Wall Street.
There you go.
You know, the other day I listened to Al Sharpton's show, mm-hmm. and when he was trying to give Herman Cain some advice for being all over the place with his comments and questions and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started to look like his alibi was falling apart, and Al Sharpton said, "Well, you know, a fish can't get caught if he don't open his mouth."
Well, listen, Arnold, did you know that the Chinese are working to develop nuclear weapons? Did you know them?
I thought I heard something about that. But Herman Cain, he's I'll tell you. You know, and I always miss the fact that black people would never support this guy because the way he talks about blacks, the way he talks about race, mm-hmm. as Ann Coulter said, he's one of their best blacks, you know. I was hoping you maybe, because I know you're a fiery guy. I hope you was a fiery black. Like, hey, you haven't met my Arnold, have you? But listen, you know, Mike. Before I go, I want to tell you this. I was listening to a live broadcast of Mark Thompson's show,
mm-hmm.
when you was at D.C. and he was he was like, I think,
oh yeah, on Sirius, yeah.
Yeah, he was chairing the podium that day.
Right.
And as he was closing the speeches down that day,
mm-hmm.
he told the people at the Wall Street Convention what they could go do to themselves. The corporatists. I told Mark, that's Mike Malloy said that.
right.
Unmistakable. That's unmistakable, Mike Malloy, you know.
Yeah, well.
He was doing a live broadcast right there at the,
He was right, stage right. He was sitting there. He had a tent. Had his whole crew with him. And
he interviewed you, didn't he?
Yeah, for about I don't know, about 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Two of my best people met that day, I guess we could say, and have some things to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, this Herman Cain thing just won't go away.
You know, I hate to talk about that kind of stuff because really, when you get right down to it, Arnold, that has nothing to do with jobs, has nothing to do with turning this country around, has nothing to do with getting rid of the fascists. The reason, though, that I bring him up is because it just shocks me that our political system has become so filthy and corrupted with money from people like the Koch brothers that a clown like this or Michelle Bachmann or, you know, it doesn't have to be Herman. I mean, four or five of these Republican candidates are nothing but fools. I mean, every time they open their mouth, they're just nothing but a fool. I remember Sarah Palin, the last go around, I have never heard such ignorance. When it comes to Michelle Bachmann, she just lies. I mean, she didn't, you know, I'm just going to stand up here and tell lies. These people are not going to.
She whines and lies.
Right.
She just whines and lies all the time.
But Herman saying something like, you know, to Judy Woodruff, and Judy Woodruff should have whatever license she has to conduct interviews with political candidates should have taken away from her. Because when this guy sits there and says, yeah, you know, they're working on nuclear weapons, and Judy Woodruff has been around since God was a teenager. I mean, this is an old woman. This is somebody who's been on every network in America. She should know better. And she sits there and goes, and doesn't say a word. Hey, I got to go, Arnold.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. Take care, Arnold.
Making pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing, and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative Christian, right-wing Republican, straight white American man. Diamonds and
talk. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by David Ruck, and his message is Happy Birthday, Dad. Craig from St. Paul is another year wiser today. Speak truth to power from your four awesome kids. Nice message, Dave, and thanks for the sponsorship. Happy birthday, Craig. From Kevin. Excuse me, Kevin writes, as a blind person since 1998, I've often expressed the emotion your caller did when he said he agreed he was entitled to his Social Security. Do these people, Republicans, really think I enjoy living a substandard lifestyle on about $1,000 a month? After rent, food, and utilities, there's not much else to be, quote, entitled, end quote, to. I would much rather be sighted and working for at least $2,000 a month and not have to put up with the overt and blissful ignorant discrimination I have to deal with. While I do consider myself a Christian, I definitely do not believe in the same God the Koch brothers and their ilk do. For one, money is their overwhelming God. As for the blissfully ignorant Christians who have somehow been convinced that only Republicans are Christian, and that they alone have all the answers, I can only shake my head in disgust and honestly pity them. To be as ignorant as Cain or Palin is not a badge of honor as they think. It is and should be a badge of shame and dishonor. Speaking of dishonor, who, Allen, the general, or Fuller, the other general, his subordinate, who is the one that dishonors the men and women of our services? It is most certainly not Fuller. And in the end, the truth will always win out, although it may take us the better part of this century to somehow make this country an honorable one again. Thanks for listening, Kevin. Thanks for writing, Kevin. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, and just one more thing here on the nuclear bombs that Herman Cain is afraid that the Chinese are developing. I guess that's why he wants to get elected president or something. Bruce writes, the truth is worse than the myth. Only one pure so-called H-bomb was ever built and detonated over Bikini Atoll, yielding 15 megatons, three times what was expected. Since the mid-50s, we have used multi-staged thermonuclear devices instead. There is no upper limit on how many stages of uranium that can be added. The Russians tested a 50-megaton weapon with shocking results. Stalin wanted to test a 100-megaton bomb, but Russian scientists feared it would breach the atmosphere into space with unpredictable consequences, and plans for even larger weapons were scrapped. The second stage is often enhanced with a small amount of deuterium, a hydrogen isotope, but provides little of the explosive yield. Most of today's weapons are on a par with World War II bombs in yield or considerably smaller. The last 8-megaton bombs are currently being dismantled. The large bunker busters still in the stockpile are slightly more than 1 megaton. The typical so-called small fractional megaton bombs are intended to attack military installations with, quote, little, end quote, collateral damage, but the targeting is, of course, purely optional. Dropped into a metropolitan area, the damage would be considerably less than what happened in Japan, but the terror inflicted would be far worse, as the number of wounded would be unimaginable. Today's nuclear arsenal would not destroy the world as Stalin's doomsday device was intended to do, but they would turn the world into a pure hell if used against cities, as some Armageddonist is sure to do. From Bruce, a.k.a. Prey 2. I tend to disagree a little bit here, Bruce. I really do. When you write, today's nuclear arsenal would not destroy the world as Stalin's doomsday device was intended to do. In a full-out nuclear exchange where everybody went totally crazy with 8,000 nuclear warheads here and about 10,000 in Russia and so on and so forth, it may not destroy the world literally, break it into pieces, but I think it would render it totally uninhabitable for humans and totally unable to sustain any kind of life for anything that needs sunshine or non-radioactive water or earth. Come on, Bruce. Damn. You don't believe in the nuclear winter scenario, huh? Well, not that I believe in it like you believe in something, but anything I've seen over the past 20 years convinces me that the math and the physics is correct, that a full-blown nuclear exchange, whatever that means anymore, I have no idea. But the detonation of these weapons would render the Earth uninhabitable, period. So maybe what you meant there was that we don't use weapons the size of Stalin's. I seem to remember, I thought it was Khrushchev, not Stalin, but I seem to remember the detonation of a monster Soviet bomb that somebody said moved the earth a little bit. I don't know. Ah, to hell with it. I don't want to talk about this stuff. That's the topic, I believe. Denial and avoidance really work. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Show. This hour is sponsored by Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. And Jerry's message, happy third birthday, Coffee Strong. That's the name of the coffee shop, a veteran-owned, pro-GI, anti-war coffee house near Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Support their outreach work at coffeestrong.org. Signed, Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Peggy. Coffeestrong.org. And in the real world, Coffee Strong is a veteran-owned, pro-GI, anti-war coffee house near Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Support their outreach work at coffeestrong.org. Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. Thanks. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Peggy. Where are we? Let's do this. Warren is in Revere, Mass. Hello, Warren, with Occupy Boston.
Hi, Mike. Actually, I'm in Revere tonight.
Uh-huh.
Kathy asked me if I, had anything new, and at first I didn't, you know, but then I thought about it. I'm following, you know, them on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They do that, you know, the tweet thing. And I saw that, they were telling people that they've been hacked. I don't know if it's their tweet account, but somebody's been doing the old cyber thing on them, I guess.
Sure.
And I mean, I guess that's to be expected. It's not something not particularly surprising, but you know, it's the first time I've actually heard about a hack attack on any Occupy. Mm-hmm. So far, I don't know if you've heard about those before.
No,
there's one other thing.
No, but I'm not. I'm certainly not surprised. I would think that an electronic attack or a web attack would be the first move made by probably Rupert Murdoch's terror broadcast network. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all they did in the UK was invade people's privacy by hacking into their email, hacking into their phone calls. So this is probably something being run out of Bill O'Reilly's office at Fox News or something. Who knows? But I'm not surprised.
No, it's par for the course, really, isn't it?
Right.
But this, the other thing that I had goes back a couple weeks. It's the only thing I took away from when Professor Chomsky spoke.
Uh-huh.
Because the PA was, you know, pretty bad. It's on video on the web, but I can't tell you right offhand the where you go for that. Maybe you just Google, you know, Chomsky
sure.
and Occupy Boston. It'll come up.
Right.
But he mentioned there was one word, the word plutonomy. Have you ever heard that word before?
Plutonomy?
Plutonomy.
I have not.
Okay, and I went and did a little bit of, not hardcore research, but looked at, you know, I glanced at it. And what he was talking about was a Citigroup internal memo about this concept. They coined the word, I can't remember the author's name, but I'll get back to you with that. Maybe I'll email it. This was around 2005. It's really almost, you know, could be old news, but it's like they've been trying to suppress the whole concept. The internal memo got leaked, and this concept of plutonomy is about how the ultra-rich, the 1%, you know, as mm-hmm. we call them, will become or have become, come to dominate such a large portion of, your consumer indexes, your luxury goods, you know, cost a lot
right.
more than what the common people can get, you know, and it's almost like a concept of them, you know, coming to be the only consumers, you know, that the business world cares about, which is nothing new,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the point that the rest of us basically become superfluous, you know. And I don't know that he you know, Professor Chomsky, you know, thought that that had had occurred yet, but
right.
he was talking about that being a real serious danger, you know, that there's like a tipping point, and if you go, you know, beyond that tipping point, there's no coming back.
Well,
I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah, I certainly believe in tipping points. I certainly believe in points of no return.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would be one, but you know, why are we how do we get to the point where we're talking about that anyway? You know, that's the part that's maddening to me. This is supposed to be a society or a country or a nation that respected individual rights, even though we weren't founded that way, that respected the dignity of all people, even though that's not how we were founded, but we were supposed to have evolved to that. And that everybody had an equal opportunity, and for those of us who, for a reason certainly not their own, who couldn't participate in this nasty system called capitalism, or whatever you want to call it, that there was a social safety net, a support system for folks who just through their own mistakes, or through bad luck, or through no fault of their own, found themselves desperately in need. The same way in the Christian holy texts, the way Jesus talks about it all the time, you know, that the poor are blessed, the meek shall inherit the earth, you know, yada, yada, yada. So we're not that way. All of us, how we got away from that idea, I'm not saying we were ever there, but that was part of the mythology. That was the American exceptionalism, not, you know, going out sending armies to invade and occupy other countries, but American exceptionalism was that, you know, we were going to take care of our citizens. We were going to make, you know, boy, what a joke. So now we are where we are, where, you know, some little punk clown like Herman Cain, a wholly owned human being owned by the Koch brothers, can be pushed out there and be given chump laugh lines so that all the white folks in the Republican Party will say, oh, man, we like this one. We didn't like the other one. You know, our African-American is a lot better than their African-American. I mean, what the hell is going on? You understand what I'm saying? I'm just rambling, but you understand what I'm saying.
I do understand what you're saying. Oh, and there was one more thing about that I wanted to add. The couple of blogs, apparently Citigroup, their lawyers, you know,
right,
have been ruthlessly trying to suppress this memo. You know, every time it gets published on the web, the people that publish it are getting, you know, calls from these lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something I wanted to bring to your attention.
All right. Well, if you, I'll tell you what. Like I said, it's all brand new to me. So send me something. Send me a link. Send me something, because
yeah.
I like to see what it is, Warren. All right.
There's one website I could tell you right now, real quick.
I'll
send you something.
Yeah, just email it to me.
Okay, I will.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good weekend. All right.
All right.
All right, Warren. I appreciate you checking in. I guess the myth was never true. It's just that a lot of people sell on the myth. I have a missive here from Prairie, too. Money can't buy happiness, but it can inflict pain and misery. I'm going to have to. We'll get to your phone calls, too, when we come back. But I got to do this from Prairie, too. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. I want to be just like my president. I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. Welcome to
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learnt your first language, with no tedious...
Flying monkeys on the air, flying monkeys everywhere. I do not like them on my station. I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. From Prairie 2, the stock market was down today on fears the Greek prime minister would not survive a no-confidence vote in Parliament. He did narrowly keep his job late today by pledging to create a new government with a broader base, even if he doesn't lead it. He had announced that he was going to let the peasants have a vote on their descent into serfdom just before going to the G20 meeting, and he didn't get a warm reception. In fact, they sent him packing. The big money players not only threatened to cut off already promised loans, but to isolate Greece from the world! The Greek prime minister may well have done this on purpose in order to panic the opposition party and grumblers in his own party into endorsing his position so that he isn't alone in taking the blame when the coming disaster unfolds. Back in the U.S., private employers added 104,000 jobs in October, but with 24,000 cuts in red state government jobs, this created a net October jobs number of 80,000. The figure for September was revised upward to 158,000 from the initial reported 103,000. If red states hadn't cut 34,000 public sector jobs, the September number would have been 192,000 new jobs. October's number is also subject to revision, and my guess is that it too will be increased. A survey of CEOs is saying that planned layoffs have been cut sharply and the economic numbers in general have been positive. These job numbers aren't indicators of real growth as they barely cover the increase in the population. Job creation would be significantly higher if the states weren't slashing jobs and overall spending as part of the Koch brothers' agenda being pushed by their lobbyists. Even though a significant number of jobs were created during the past 2 months, weekly jobless claims have stayed above 400,000 until this week when they dipped slightly. Below the so-called magic 400,000 number everybody in media obsesses over. When jobs are being created, the weekly initial jobless claims number should be no higher than 275,000, and this is the real magic number. But claims remain high because of the churning of jobs by corporations in order to drive down wages. Median income has dropped sharply in the last 3 years, with 50% of workers earning less than $26,000 last year, down from over $30,000, and this trend is obviously continuing. Despite a number of reports from smaller companies that they are moving production back from China, large companies continue to outsource as much as they can, and they are also closing plants simply from lack of consumer demand. The one exception is the automobile industry, where new U.S. plants are opening, but at half wages. Union factory jobs in the U.S. typically pay $28 an hour, and the so-called new ones are half that, or roughly equivalent in today's dollars, to the minimum wage set in 1938 at 25 cents an hour. Auto workers in 1938 made several times the minimum wage. Today in Germany, the same factory jobs pay $48 an hour with better benefits, and everybody in Germany gets those benefits. Germany is not in trouble from the euro crisis, but increasingly Italy is, with bond rates above 6% and climbing. The Wall Street hedge funds are angling to make a killing by taking the smaller euro currency countries to the cleaners. It may not work out for all of them, however. Ask former New Jersey Governor John Corzine. He's hired a criminal defense attorney as he can't account for $700 million in customer money. Today it was leaked that this money may be in Jamie Dimon's J.P. Morgan Bank. Exactly why, we don't know, but J.P. Morgan took several banks to the cleaners during the 2008 crash. In summary, the U.S. economy is trying to right itself, with GDP now above the peak from before the 2008 crash, but the Republicans are busy drilling holes in the bottom of the boat. This isn't just the crazy ideologue teabagger congressman doing this, but a cadre of billionaires who can each write a check from the petty cash account that would exceed the total expenditures of the 2008 election. They buy congressmen like trick-or-treat candy bars, And this extends to state and local officials, too. Their corporations fund the news channels, so you only hear what they want you to hear. Word of mouth is the only thing they can't control. So learn the facts. Talk about them. Take action while you can. Time is running out. PrairieNumeral2.com. That's his website. His name is Bruce. Okay, thank you, Bruce. And I didn't see any typos in that one. You had some sentences I had to change around a little bit there, Bruce, but not bad, not bad. Thank God he writes to us. I really, seriously, I don't know how and to what degree, if any degree at all, we would possibly cover any of the stuff going on in American economic meltdown, in the American economic meltdown, in the attempts to come back, if it weren't for Bruce Enberg's writing to us on a regular basis. I mean that. He's got some ideas that he and I certainly disagree on, and he would say the same thing about me. But, Bruce, thank you. I really, really, really appreciate your writing. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malone. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Twenty-five before the hour. And this hour is being sponsored by Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. The message from Jerry and Peggy is happy third birthday, Coffee Strong. Veteran-owned, pro-GI, anti-war coffee house near Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Support their outreach work at coffeestrong.org. Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace, thanks both of you for the sponsorship. And sounds like a great place to go have a cup of coffee. Paul is in Canton, Georgia. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What about those geriatric terrorists up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it's kind of strange that they're running around. But there I get a bunch of these idiots coming to the... I work in a grocery store. I don't want to name the chain, but I get a bunch of these morons coming all the time to the store.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they're
we
not quite as vocal about it, but the same kind of underlying current, you know.
Yeah, we spend a considerable amount of time around Toccoa and Cleveland, Georgia, and Helen, Georgia, and so on and so forth, up in that part of the mountains. And I don't know if I've seen these guys before, but I certainly have seen people that look just like them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, God. But anyway, that's not why you called.
Right. Two things, real quick. Is I'm reading a book called The Doomsday Men.
Uh-huh.
About nuclear weapons that actually the doomsday bomb was invented here by Dr. Szilard. They had wanted to coat a hydrogen bomb with cobalt, and that way it would carry nuclear dust throughout the entire world. And their theory originally was that they were doing it for peaceful reasons, because then they could threaten all the militaries of the world to put down their weapons. Mm-hmm. But of course, it didn't work out that way, as usual.
A cobalt bomb.
Yes, cobalt-coated hydrogen bomb. And the cobalt attracts the radiation, and it turns to dust and spreads over the entire planet. It's an interesting book if you have every time to read it.
What's the name of it again? The
Doomsday Men?
Doomsday Men, M-E-N?
Correct, right.
Oh, man.
the interesting part was George Porter wrote in there that he said if sunbeams were weapons of war, we'd have had solar power a long time ago.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there is argument. Are we, were human beings a tool maker or were human beings a weapon maker? And more and more it looks like the latter, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a real quick note is, I believe it's Sunday they're having the elections in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And more than likely the Daniel Ortega is going to be elected and his Sandinista party will be the supermajority. Two interesting things is, that's one good reason.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no teeth?
Say it again. I'm sorry, Paul.
That's okay. That more than likely he's going to get a supermajority, and that's a good reason not to have a Republican a president, because next thing we know, we'll have Contras too going at it down there.
Right. Well, you know, Ortega has pretty much given up on his socialist policies. It's still the Sandinista Party, but I was reading something, I think, in the New York Times yesterday or today about this election, and the international business community look at him now as a good dog. On the other hand, he has built his economy with a lot of help from Cesar Chavez of Venezuela, which has helped Ortega devote money to the poor people in Nicaragua. But it's my understanding that Ortega certainly is not the firebrand revolutionary that he was 35 years ago when the first Bush administration and the first Reagan. I don't think Ronald Reagan ever knew anything about it, but you know, the operatives in the Reagan administration, people like Oliver North and John Poindexter and Elliot Abrams, guys that are still around, and then into the Bush 1 administration, they were responsible for so much murder and death and destruction and blood. But it's a different Ortega now, you know, that's my understanding. I don't know.
The funny part is that the guy who's running third right now, who the right wingers really want to elect, actually has some support, but he spent 7 years of a 20-year sentence in jail for stealing $100 million from the country, and he can still get third place right now, which shows that not all the idiots just live in this country. There's some spread out throughout the world.
You know, right wingers are right wingers are right winger, right? No matter where the bastards live.
Exactly.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Take care, okay?
Yep. Have a good night.
All right, sir, you too. Talk about names from the past, huh? From Prez, who writes, Mike, many of us already believe, if not know, that the Bush v. Gore decision was wrong. I would go beyond Bugliosi's assertions, The Betrayal of America, that book, to say that the decision was the greatest act of treason or harm in the history of this country. We lost 10 years and way more. The guts, the heart of our great enterprise, our unique experiment here, those subhuman, not amoral, but submoral creatures. It was a coup. Then 9/11 was used, at the very least, but another day for discussion on that one. 9/11 was used in furtherance of an ongoing criminal enterprise, mainly the illegal and criminal invasion and occupation of another nation, besides the fear and lies used, just like TARP, extortion, plain and simple. A gigantic money laundering operation followed by the largest heist in world history, plus China's buying up all the rare elements required for modern solar panel manufacture. So, treason, RICO statute violations, at least. The Supreme Court, the United States, can be removed for not being, quote, in good behavior, end quote, I believe. Prez. Well, yeah, we can talk about it, but if we're going to do it, it's going to take more than talk. That's, you know, that's the thing. It's a little spooky, isn't it? Ed is in Egg Harbor City, New Jersey. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Okay, Mike, I wanted to talk about the electronic voting machines.
Sure.
I had this idea, and I just wanted to run it by you and hear your opinion. It's kind of been proven that they're very hackable, right?
Right.
Okay. And the Republicans have been hacking them for years, right? We've lost elections on that.
Yes.
What's to stop our side from hacking them back?
Well, this kind of...
Are we too self-righteous?
Well, I think Democrats are still, at least the rank and file out here in the real world, I think we still believe in an honest system, and that's going to be our doom, of course, believing in keeping the system as honest as possible. Democrats in office may be cowards, but Democrats out here on the street are still believers in truth, justice, and the American way. So I don't know. I don't know how you convince Democrats to lower themselves to the level of these disgusting Republicans who, you know, obviously have rigged the system. So I don't know, Ed. I would think that we could fight back that way, but then...
Like some underground organization, you know, some underground left organization. Of course, the people at the top are going to say, yeah, we're doing it. Right. But maybe some of the people at the bottom.
That's a good idea. Who knows what's going to happen this next election, though, Ed? Hey, Ed, you're starting to break up, so I'm going to let you go, but thank you. That's a good question. If it can be done, why aren't the good people doing it? Well, I guess that's the answer, because decent people don't do that sort of thing. And I guess in a way that is... I'm tempted to say that's sad that decent people don't revert to the same disgusting, cheating, lying tactics as Republicans or conservatives, but... If decent people were to do that, I guess they'd no longer be decent, right? So how do you fight back? You fight back with truth, and until that doesn't work anymore, and then you try a different tactic. You think? John writes, I'm certain that Oakland, California, is viewed by our government as a test case. And the two Iraq veterans are the case makers for the police and Homeland Security. If Americans stand for these two men being brutalized, then the gloves will come off. That's just my opinion. How timid will Americans be? And kudos to Jesse Ventura. I hope he continues to speak loud and clear. From John in Raleigh. John, again, he writes... Hey, two emails tonight made it onto the program. Is that a record? Nah. We're going to take a break. The phone number here is 877-996-2556. Stick around, and we'll take your call when we come back. All right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state blue? Yeah. I won't.
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. And their message, happy third birthday, Coffee Strong. Veteran-owned, pro-GI, anti-war, coffee house near Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Support their outreach work at coffeestrong.org. Coffeestrong.org. Jerry and Peggy of Veterans for Peace. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Peggy. Greg is in Minneapolis listening on KT. What is it? KTNF. God, just drawing, yeah. drawing a big blank here. Hey,
it's
Greg.
Okay, I just want to ask you a quick question. Have you ever heard of a guy named Walter Burian?
It doesn't come to mind immediately, no.
This guy, I really, really wish that you would research him. If you go, he has a video out right now on YouTube, and it's called End Taxation / The Only Game in Town. And the whole premise behind it is our government, local and federal, all the governments of the United States of America, they all put out a book every year, pretty much, and it's called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. I've been looking into this guy for like 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. and every time I go on the radio to a conservative or even a liberal talk show host, they immediately, for some reason, start cutting me down. Oh, that can't be true. That can't be true. And basically, what he's saying is, collectively, all of the local, state, and federal government entities all by collection own by investment virtually every big corporation, bank, Wall Street, the whole nine yards. They own it basically by investment. And that investment comes from dollars that we've given them. And my whole thing is, if our system is funded by cash, investment, and taxation, but the investment and cash is in the $60 trillion a year, and the United States individuals only account for maybe 10 or 20 of that trillion, then there's no real reason for taxation. For taxation at all. All right. I don't want to, I'm trying to paraphrase, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Greg, in the first place, I see that theory is just totally backwards. I don't think the government or the, I mean, who's the government? I don't think the government, if you're referring to politicians or the House or the Senate or the executive branch, they don't own squat. In fact, they are owned by, I think you have it, or this guy has it just ass backwards. Corporate America or the capitalists in this country have bought every single, with a couple, I shouldn't say every single, have bought 90%, 95% of the politicians are owned outright by corporate America. Now, I mean, the proof, if proof is needed, is to see how the legislative branch of the U.S. government does exactly the bidding of these mega corporations, not the other way around. I mean, if the government really owned the corporations, then collecting taxes from corporations would be very simple. You just say pay up, or we'll cut off your oxygen. So no, I'm sorry. I just can't. I don't know how serious the guy is. I just, the total output of the globe is about 45 trillion, I think. I mean, I don't know. These numbers are just, they're almost nonsensical to me. But listen, Greg, thanks. But because we're about out of time here, but I just don't go along with the idea that, the government of the United States, owns the capitalists. It's the other way around. I swear to God, if there's any truth to what you're saying, this author or whatever has put out there, I don't know what it would be. I just don't. I'm not trying to be a jerk to you. But there's an awful lot of garbage that's out there by anti-tax writers who just want to see, they just want to see the system collapse because Grover Norquist has told them no more taxes, something. I don't know. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. None of it. Gary in Petaluma, California said, this is about our actually is about our trivia question earlier this evening, but Gary sent this in. Once again, our Republican brethren have their priorities straight. Ignore the nation's financial woes, the middle class being hammered, and jobs gone missing. Instead, let's confer personhood. The second a woman's egg is fertilized by the blessed man's sperm, the zygote can now vote. What the hell is wrong with Republicans? Can't they focus on anything other than a woman's groin, cervix, or fallopian tubes? Are they trying to criminalize birth control? Will every miscarriage now be deemed a homicide and the woman's womb yellow taped off as a working crime scene? Has everyone lost their minds? There are so many more serious problems facing our nation than fertilized eggs rights. But if you're a right-wing zealot, reality rarely intrudes. Honestly, how can any rational woman even toy with the idea of supporting the GOP? Oh, dear, the previous sentence contained the word rational, answered my own question. The GOP is just like an STD looking to infect women and ruin their reproductive rights. Just say no to this conference of personhood, to a group of cells that may or may not survive implantation in the woman's womb. Let nature run its course. Gary. I'll see you Monday, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Kevin Kenny, wherever you are.